Now please open your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy. And we'll be looking at chapter 5, verse 23. We stopped there a while ago. For many years, conservative Bible-believing Christians have practiced total abstinence from alcoholic beverages. Many sermons have been preached against the use of alcohol, and in fact, it was churches that worked so hard to bring in the prohibition in the late 1800s and early 1900s. The question of Christians imposing what we know to be true on those who are not Christians is not the subject of this message today. What we are looking at today is the whole question of what being sober means. The question is, does the Bible teach drinking in moderation or abstinence from alcoholic beverages? And we've been studying through 1 Timothy, and we took a short break throughout the Christmas in the first part of 2011. We've now arrived back at one of the most misused and perhaps misunderstood passages written by Paul, 1 Timothy 5:23, which says, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Our message today is titled, "Being Sober," and a subtitle, "Does the Bible Teach Drinking in Moderation?" Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So what does the Bible say about drinking what we today call wine? Does it say that we should drink alcoholic beverages of any kind? Does the Bible say that drinking a little wine with alcohol in moderation is a good practice? Does the Bible teach that we should use alcoholic beverages like wine for our health? Today we will look at some passages from the Bible that give us what should be a clear understanding of the question of what being sober means, and at the same time, what the Bible does or does not say about drinking in moderation, something that many more Christians practice today than did just a few decades ago. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 5:23, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Well, the passages we're going to look at, we've got some subheadings today, and you can write them down if you're taking notes. The first one is sobriety and pastors, 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3. The second one is sobriety and watchfulness, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8. The third is sobriety and holiness, 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Fourth one, sobriety and resisting evil, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. And the fifth one is sobriety and Timothy's wine. We'll be looking again at today's verse, 1 Timothy 5:23, and Proverbs 20, verse 1. Okay, I'll give you those headings again as we go through. Number one today, sobriety and pastors. Please turn to 1 Timothy or turn back. We've already looked at this before, but we're going to look at it again because it is very important today. 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3. Sobriety and pastors. Remember that Timothy was a pastor, and Paul's letter was written to Timothy. It didn't just apply to Timothy, but it was being written to a pastor. And so it was, it was to a pastor, and then to the greater church after that. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. "A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous." These instructions were written by Paul to Timothy, the very person that to whom Paul wrote in this passage we're looking at today, "Use a little wine." Think about this. The beginning of the book, prior to our passage today, in chapter 3, he said, be sober, not given to wine. Now, in chapter 5, he says, use a little wine. Now, are there any contradictions in the Bible?
No.
Okay. Therefore, either being sober simply means having a sound mind, and therefore a little alcohol is fine, or it means having a mind completely free from anything that would alter its function, and therefore that the wine Paul told Timothy to drink contained no alcohol. So what does the Bible tell us? This is important. It's very easy to read a passage and get an idea from that passage and to misuse that passage over and over again, as has been done with this passage many times throughout the years. Take one passage all by itself and pull out an idea of this and say, therefore this means, or take one word. You could take the word wine, for example, and you could look through the Bible and you could pull up some of the different reference books that you can use, and you could get a wrong idea of exactly what it means as you see it in our Bible. Taken by itself, you see. You take pieces of the Bible by itself. There's a couple of things. First of all, you can get it wrong. Secondly, you can teach anything you like if you pull things out of context. If you start out, which unfortunately is done, we like to preach what the Bible says. But there are lots of people that like to say, you know, the world would be a better place if. And so they come up with a whole message and they go, okay, let's find some Bible verses that back up what I'm saying. And that's incorrect. That's not proper exegesis. That's incorrectly using the Word of God. And you come up with some very wrong teachings, which have happened. And actually, it's not new, because I've looked at Bible commentaries and I found many errors in Bible commentaries, some that I like. I don't agree with everything anybody writes. And I'm sure they don't agree with me on everything. And I hope you don't agree with me on everything. Because if you do, I'm either very, very perfect or you're not paying attention. But there's no contradictions in the Bible. And we have to see here, the Bible is either saying that drinking a little alcohol is fine, or that the wine that Paul told Timothy to drink contained no alcohol. So let's see what the Bible says. And we'll see if we can come to an understanding of exactly what's meant. Now, first of all, in this passage to Timothy about pastors, where he says, be sober. The word that is rendered sober is the Greek word sophron, meaning of sound mind, self-controlled, sober-minded. That's what that word, that Greek word there that's used means. Being of sound mind. So he says, oh, well, then it's a little bit okay. Well, just a second before you start drawing conclusions, or as they say, jumping to conclusions. Jumping to conclusions doesn't burn many calories, by the way. It just burns other people. Being of sound mind does not mean having had a glass of wine. Once a person has had one glass of wine or one bottle of beer or one alcoholic drink of any kind, the mind is no longer 100% sound. It's not possible. Can't be. Okay? Every little bit of alcohol diminishes the soundness of the mind. Yet the Bible here says to be sober. And that's an absolute statement. Nothing less than 100%. If your mind is not 100% sound, it's not sound. Okay? Sound, you see, we have to again look at definitions. And sound means perfect. It means whole. It's not diminished in any way. There's an ad that I've seen on TV before. It's a pretty good ad. Actually, it gives a pretty good picture of alcohol. Alcohol is not the only thing that can alter the mind, by the way, but it shows a person driving along in his car. It's a drinking driving ad. Person driving along in his car, and it shows a glass. Goes in front of the driver. Now the driver is looking through the glass. One glass. What do you notice when they see that? Has anybody seen that ad? One glass. It's the truth. One glass. All of a sudden, you can still see, still drive pretty good, still legal even. But it's not as clear as it was before, because he's not 100% sober anymore. And what our Bible says here, it doesn't say mainly sober, it doesn't say pretty much sober. It says that a pastor is supposed to be sober. Okay? It's 100%. Sobriety today in our society sets an arbitrary legal definition of sober as a total percentage of alcohol in the blood based on the the maximum amount of alcohol on average that can be in a person's blood before their judgment is impaired enough to potentially cause harm. There's a great difference between the definition that we use, the legal definition, and the real definition of sober. The word used in the Bible doesn't leave any opening for percentages. It's all or none. That the argument still arises that this is only for pastors. Okay, say, oh, no problem. That's only pastors. He was speaking to a pastor, right? But that's all right for every other Christian to drink as long as it's in moderation. Everything in, we hear this a lot. Everything in moderation, right? Everything in moderation. How come it's okay for Christians to have a little tiny bit of alcohol to drink, but it's not okay for them to have one or two cigarettes to smoke? See that? Interestingly enough, one of the passages used to support this argument is this very instruction to Timothy to take a little wine. It's moderation. Yet this same Timothy was instructed to be sober. See, that right there destroys the argument that it's that drink a little, drink in moderation because Paul told Timothy to. Paul didn't tell Timothy to. You see that? Bible, there's no contradiction. The Bible says to Timothy, be sober. We've already seen that word. That word, sophos, means sober. It means 100% sound. Sound means complete, whole. It doesn't leave any room for percentages, you see. It's not like the legal system. This is God's word. This is my word, by the way. This is God's word. I've had to look at this. I've had to study this. I've been through the whole gamut of the argument from one end all the way to the other. I've been through the whole opinion from one end to the other. And I've spent a lot of time looking through God's word to see what God says. I want to know what God says. I don't want it to be something that I've just made up. It's got to be what God says or it's not the truth. Okay? And this is what God's word says. Okay, so here we are. We see from Timothy that it's certainly true that pastors are supposed to be sober. Okay? Very clear. He tells one of the requirements for pastors from chapter 3 is to pastors be sober. Therefore, we know that what possible that Timothy's wine had alcohol in it. Anyway, then we're going to go on. We're going to look a little bit further and see more about sobriety, about being sober. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8. We read, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The subtitle for this section is Sobriety and Watchfulness. Told here to be sober. Don't sleep like others do, but be sober. In other words, don't have your mind clouded. Be sober. Be sober, be watchful, paying attention. Don't have your mind clouded or fogged in any way so that you're not paying attention. This is the reason why we have this legal limit that we talk about for people driving, is because if people don't have a sound mind, they're not paying attention and they start to run into things, start to do damage, and people start to get hurt. But the word here translated sober in our Bibles, we're not now anymore talking about man's law out there. We're talking about what God says. The word translated as sober is nepho, meaning to be free from the influence of intoxicants. It means to have nothing in your body of any kind that has any intoxicating effect. Okay? It's cut and dried, that word. It means no alcohol, no intoxicants, intoxicant free. That's what that word means. This includes anything that would cause you to be intoxicated, including mind-altering or altering drugs. If you put even the smallest amount of intoxicants in your body, you are affected by it. You're no longer scripturally sober. You may be sober under the law of the world, but not scripturally, not biblically. This is referring to the same kind of condition, by the way. Think about this. This is referring to the same kind of condition you would keep yourself in if you headed off to work. Okay? Most people would not take a glass of wine or other alcoholic beverage before you go to work. Can you imagine that? Think about it. Imagine you're going to work. You're going to work in an office or whatever. You're going to work at something and work around other people and so on. And you say, well, before I go to work, I'm just going to have myself a nice big glass of wine and then I'm going to go to work. But people don't do that, right? It's the same kind of condition. Nothing at all in your body that's got any kind of intoxicating effect. That's what this word that's translated sober here means, lethal. Intoxicant free. Our next section is sobriety and holiness. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 16, not Dr. Timothy, just a little bit further on. Keep on going and you'll get to it right after Hebrews. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Sobriety and holiness. Once again, the word here translated sober is nephal, to be free from any influence of intoxicants. It's 100%. It's an absolute word. It doesn't leave room for a small percentage of intoxicant. It means intoxicant free. We are told here in this passage to be sober or intoxicant free for how long? Till I finish work today? Till the end of the weekend? Or until the end of the work week? Till church is over? No. We're told to be sober or intoxicant free until Christ returns. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're to be free from any influence other than the Holy Spirit until Christ returns. Sober, needful. As Christians, we are to be sober as obedient children. It's our obedience to God. Being sober is being obedient to God, you see. That's what this passage says. As obedient children, Spirit-filled, not doing the same thing that people without Christ who have no hope do. Bible gives instruction in the Old Testament about a time to give somebody an intoxicant. It's for people that have no hope. It's not for Christians. Okay? Christians are instructed to be sober and holy because God, our Father, is holy and has told us to be holy like Him. Can you imagine our Savior putting intoxicants in His body? The one who is incorrupt, putting corruption into his body, it makes no sense. And nowhere in the Bible will you find anything that says he did. For your information, wine, the word translated wine, ranges from anything from a very strong alcoholic beverage with drugs mixed into it, probably opium and things like that, right through to the grape itself. and dried grapes, raisins even, was translated wine. Anything coming from the vine is translated as wine. Just because you see the word wine used does not mean it has alcohol in it when you're reading your Bible. And see, well, I don't understand Greek. When you read your Bible, it says be sober. Okay? And we're bringing up the Greek words here today just so you can see that it's not so that you can get a better understanding of what the word means. It's so that you can see that our translators that translated our Bible from Greek into English didn't make a mistake. Sober means sober. It means free of intoxicants. Period. It's not a part. If it meant moderation, it would say basically sober, or mainly sober, or pretty well sober. But it says sober, and the word we see from the Greek is an absolute word. The Christians are instructed to be sober and holy because God our Father is holy and has told us to be holy like Him. And from this passage we see holiness and sobriety go together. And if you ever wonder about something to see if it makes sense and if it fits God, a passage from Scripture, look at what the opposite says. If what you're reading fits God, then the absolutely fits God, then the opposite should absolutely not fit God. When we look at this, the opposite of holiness and sobriety is ungodliness or unholiness and insobriety. Okay, drunkenness. Holiness and sobriety go together. Okay? Now, number four, sobriety and resisting evil. Sobriety and resisting evil. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verses 8 and 9. A familiar passage, I hope. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So here's another time that we are told to be sober, needful, free from any influence of intoxicants. We are told to be sober to be able to fight our adversary, the devil. Alcohol is a favorite tool of the devil to bring people in bondage and under his power. Taking alcohol into the body is taking one of the most useful weapons the devil has ever used for his purposes in all of history. Do you get that? Taking alcohol into the body is taking one of the most useful weapons the devil has ever used for his purposes in all of history. It has done more damage than just about anything you can name. In order to properly resist evil, we need to be sober, free from any influence of evil. And alcohol is an influence of evil. There's no way to get around that. By the way, that's alcohol itself is just, it doesn't care. It's the use that makes, use or not using it makes all the difference. Okay, number five, sobriety and Timothy's wine. Well, our passage today that we looked at, 1 Timothy 5 verse 23, says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Paul instructed Timothy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is not just some little letter that Paul just wrote that happened to somehow fall into our Bible. It's not an error that it's in our Bible. It's something that the Holy Spirit instructed Paul to write. And to put into that letter so that it could be read down through the ages, even today. Paul instructed Timothy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to use a little wine for his stomach's sake and his many sicknesses. But Paul has already told Timothy to be sober. In other words, not to take any intoxicants into his body. The wine that Paul instructed Timothy to use is what we would now call pure grape juice. I'm going to tell you a little bit about wine. You can look it up and you can find it's very, very intriguing and interesting to read about the way wine was made, the way wine was stored 2,000 years ago. You might be very surprised. The wine considered best in Palestine in New Testament times was wine that had no alcohol in it. It was unfermented. It had no added alcohol. The best wine was described as being harmless or innocent. It even had a name for it, called innocente. It was a Latin word. It means harmless, innocent. This was the kind of wine that Jesus made at the wedding in Cana, not corrupted, not fermented. That would have been completely contrary to the nature of Jesus Christ, who himself was not corrupt. You think about it. Jesus Christ, we're told in John chapter 1, is the Creator. Jesus Christ is the one who made everything. And he is the one who turns water into wine all the time, naturally, through the vine, water through the roots, going through the process in the grapevine, and photosynthesis with the leaves, and the whole process as God designed it, and coming out into the grapes as wine. And that's what he made at that wedding. The misunderstanding about they said they were well drunk. It doesn't say the people were drunk. They'd had enough already. They were full. You ever have a really good feast and you can't stand to take another bite and look at it and the thought of more food is... Well, that's what it was like at the wedding. That's what it was talking about. They already had so much they didn't want to take another sip or another mouthful of anything. But it was pure grape juice. Now, interesting thing about pure grape juice. Again, you can check this out. Pure grape juice has been shown to be very soothing and good for the stomach. It is a very healthy and wholesome drink, useful for providing an immediate and healthy boost, as well as providing many antioxidants, vitamins, and other health benefits. And this is the wine that Paul would have recommended to Timothy, not fermented wine with alcohol in it, which was very unstable, expensive, and difficult to store. Fermented wine in those days very quickly turned to vinegar without the additives that are in common use today. One of the arguments used is that, well, it was a hot climate, and so they had to, if it didn't have alcohol in it, it would have spoiled quickly. The truth is that the opposite was true. Wine with alcohol in that hot country very quickly turned to vinegar. And only the wealthiest states generally had that. The stuff that the soldiers used was, it was called wine, but it was vinegar. It still had alcohol in it, but it was wine that had turned. Awful stuff. The stuff that they offered Jesus, that was the stuff that the soldiers drank. They called it vinegar in the scriptures. Terrible stuff. But the stuff that stored well was pure grape juice. And it's very good for the stomach. By the way, wine with alcohol in it, a lot of people's stomachs can't handle. People have stomach problems. Some people can. It might even calm some, but grape juice, pure grape juice, unfermented wine, is good for the stomach. And that would have been what Paul instructed Timothy to use. Now let's look a little bit further at wine. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. A wine with alcohol in it is called a mocker because it makes fools of those who drink it. It's Strong drink is said to be raging, something that causes people to do crazy things, something that deceives those who think they can control it. The Bible says that those who are deceived by it are not wise. Wine and other alcoholic beverages are not safe to use, are not recommended for Christians, and are strongly warned against. If you study through the Bible, you'll find passage after passage where terrible things happened as a result of the use of wine. Destruction to families and incest and bad decisions, all kinds of terrible things because of the use of wine. It's unwise. It's a mocker. It mocks the good that God has done. Alcohol has been recognized as the most widely abused and dangerous drug of all, involved in more fatal accidents and injuries, broken homes, sexual promiscuity, job absenteeism, disease, and crime than any other drug. Yet it is widely promoted socially by the world and is becoming increasingly popular even among conservative, Bible-believing Christians. That's unfortunate. There is an increasingly dangerous idea creeping into Christian homes that moderate drinking is all right and even taught in the Bible. And there are those who are writing books even about it, teaching, that saying the Bible teaches you to drink. That is a mockery of the Word of God. That is not true. The Bible in no way teaches people to drink. That is just plain false. There's nowhere that the Bible says, thou shalt not drink wine. It says to be sober, that is pretty cut and dried, 100%. It most certainly does not say you should drink wine. Even if you don't read the passages that say to be sober, you read through the Bible the things that have happened to people using it. It should be enough to make anybody who's actually read it want to stay away from it. Had I studied it through younger, I never would have tried it myself. It's too dangerous. And the Bible does say, as we've seen today, it says, don't put it in your body. Nephos. No intoxicants in your body. The Bible clearly tells Christians to never ingest any kind of intoxicant. The Bible says, as we have seen today, that Christians are to be sober, free from any kind of intoxicant. And as I mentioned earlier, the only time the Bible recommends the use of wine as an intoxicant is for those who have no hope, who are ready to perish. Christians do not perish and always have hope. Now, a favorite argument of those who would use wine is that we are not specifically told not to use wine, which is actually untrue, as we've already seen today, and that Christians are free to do as we please. Some of the points that are used are, after all, what we take into our bodies is not what defiles us. People will quote that from Scripture. Don't worry about getting into an argument about this kind of thing. Somebody wants to argue against what the Bible says, they have to answer to God. Okay? Yes, the Bible says it's not what we take into our bodies that defiles us. But it does say it's what comes out that defiles us. Well, what comes out of a person who's intoxicated? Things that defile you. People do things, as we just said. There's fatal accidents, injuries, broken homes, sexual promiscuity, job absenteeism, disease, and crime as a result of its use. The Bible says, here's what the Bible says about that, by the way, when that argument's used, well, it's not what goes in that defiles us. Well, here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Mark this in your Bibles. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Don't take something into your body that can put you under its power. Just because we have great freedom in Christ does not mean we should freely sin, nor that we should give our bodies over to bondage. And again, the Bible says, very similar, 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. something that is called a mocker, such as wine, does not edify or build anyone up, but tears down and destroys the witness of those who come under its power. By the way, it's very foolish to say, well, I'm not under its power. I can probably handle it. Nobody knows. Apart from the fact that the Bible tells us to be sober, nobody knows if they can handle it. And for some, it's too late when they try it once. For others, they like it and try it again, and it's too late. It's a mocker. In conclusion today, Timothy's wine, the wine that Paul told him to drink, did not contain alcohol. That's pretty clear. Paul had already instructed him as a pastor to be sober or to abstain from intoxicants. But beyond that, more than that, as we've seen today, the Bible tells us all to be sober, not simply self-controlled or sound-minded, but further than that, and including that, to be completely free of intoxicants of any kind. Drinking in moderation, regardless of what anybody, what any Christian does, drinking in moderation is not taught in the Bible. If Christians drink, here's the bottom line. If Christians take a drink, they're not going to hell. Christians don't lose their salvation. We don't gain our salvation by works. We don't lose our salvation by works after we've gained it. But we cannot argue that the Bible teaches something it doesn't teach. And the Bible does not teach drinking in moderation. The Bible teaches no drinking at all. It says to be sober. It teaches Christians not to take any kind of intoxicant in any amount into our bodies at all. That's what the Bible does teach. The Bible teaches us to be sober, needful, free from the influence of any intoxicants. We are not to be filled with spirits, but spirit-filled. When your faith is in Jesus Christ, you have something so much better than anything the world can offer. Be sober, be holy, because your Father in heaven is holy. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Better than anything the world has to offer. Trust God. Put your faith in his Son Jesus Christ and love and obey him. Be sober, be holy, be ready for heaven, because God loves you and he's ready for you. Let's stand for prayer.